because we believe the very strong word in the Bible, Jesus clearly said, I'm not coming back until everyone's heard my name. And that's our mission with Wycliffe Associates. So guys, I need you really to pray. It's a tough place. I'm going into the jungle. I'm from the jungle, but it's going to be a hard trip. So pray for me. And when I get back December, January, we can have a film show. Just very quickly, the size of my fingernail is the size of a pygmy chameleon. And please don't tell me that the chameleon is not, some people only want a chameleon is. And you also have a chameleon the size of my hand. So I'm going to an awesome country, God made well. Stick me on your prayer list. Thank you.
I pray for you. Father, thank you for Ray and for the heart that he has for missions and for this opportunity he has again now to go and serve with Wycliffe. God, you know all the details. I know he gave us just a quick overview, but God, there's a specific need they have for him for this particular time. And God, we pray that you would go ahead of him, that you would surround him and the others he's working with while they're there. Not only protect them, Lord, but use them to impact the society, the area they're going for you, for your kingdom, for your plans and purposes. So God, we commit him, we commission him to this work, and we ask your blessing for him and for Belinda here at home. God, just ask your rich blessing on them in the name of Jesus. Amen. And just to review, you're leaving the end of November, and you'll be there at least till the end of December, right?
I'm going to Johannesburg on the 23rd of November. I'm hoping to go to Swaziland very quickly to see King Mswati number 3. He's getting his 20th wife.
Oh, wow.
He's a strong man. And then from there, I'm going to Madagascar for 2 weeks and coming back for a week. Then I come home just before Christmas.
Okay, very good. All right, thanks, Ray. All right. Well, it is good to have you here this morning. My name is Ron. Glad you could join us today. If this is your first time here, welcome. One other thing I'll mention real quickly before I get into the theme for the morning, and that is we are having a potato bar this morning following the service. So you're invited to stay for that. We do this on a fairly regular basis. It's a fundraiser for the youth group for their mission activities. So just remind you of that. If you don't have plans, if you're able to stick around, please do so. You'll get a little bit more information on that at the end of the morning. So our hope this morning was to take this time this morning, the Sunday immediately before the election. Election day is Tuesday. I can't imagine that none of you are not aware of that, at least not if you have a television or you receive mail at your house, because you've just been inundated with all kinds of things relative to the election. And we wanted to take this time this morning. I'm just going to share for a shorter period of time than normal, and then we're going to spend time in prayer corporately, just prayer for the election, asking for God's leadership and guidance and his protection, and declaring again our faith and trust in him. If you receive emails, if you're on our email list, hopefully you've been receiving your emails. John Waller did a great job writing these email devotionals for us all week long, and you've been receiving them. Excellent themes, excellent prayer themes. I might touch on a few of them in my comments this morning. If you are not on our email list and you haven't received them, I'm sure if you just speak to me or get an email to the office, we can get copies of them to you. And if you would like to have your name added to our email list, we can help you with that as well. So I just wanted to share a few thoughts before we go into the prayer time. There's so many things we could talk about, but I don't think it's just me. I think I've heard enough people say this election, this time feels different. It feels different. And there might be a lot of reasons. Well, there are, I think, a lot of reasons for that. Now, again, I'm 54 years old. I just turned 54 a couple weeks ago. So now you know exactly how old I am. I was born in 1962. So, you know, I remember a number of elections now. Not as many of you, as some of you, but probably more than others of you. I've heard the debates. I've seen the ads. And it feels to me like this time around, the level of harsh and critical words have escalated significantly from what we've seen before. And I don't think we can just blame this on the particular candidates. I believe this is where our society is. People seem to have trouble just disagreeing with respect anymore. It's like if I disagree with you, like somehow I have to hate you or I have to attack you. But that's been evident in this process. Long gone are gentleness and respect, the way that Paul tells us we're supposed to relate to people who might question us about our faith. We relate to them with gentleness and respect. That seems long gone in our society. This is something else that's really unique about this particular election. I saw a poll that the Washington Post and ABC did, I think within the last 7 to 10 days. 60%, over half, 60% of all registered voters, Democrat, Republican, Independent, all registered voters find the two main candidates of the Republican Democratic Party unfavorable. 60%, over half of all people that are going to go to the ballot box find the two candidates that we have to choose from, and the two main parties anyway, unfavorable, while almost 50%, 47%, nearly one in every two persons that will go into the polling place find these two candidates highly objectionable. And I just don't think we've had it quite like this before. At least to me, it seems that way. You know, it seems like no one is really happy with our choices, and a lot of people, I think, are going to be voting sort of with their head hung low, like, I don't really want to vote for this person, but I guess it's what I'm supposed to do, you know? So it's just a unique thing about this particular election. It seems to me, again, I'm just sharing my opinions. You don't have to agree with any of them, but it seems to me that there's a much greater level this time around of both hatred for the candidates, especially the one you're not in support of. It seems like some people have, well, I'll choose this one, but then the only thing left for the other one is extreme hatred and fear. There are great levels of fear. You know, if person X gets elected, I'm just horrified as to what's going to happen to our nation. If person Y gets elected, I'm just horrified as to what's going to happen. I don't remember feeling that before. I don't remember it having been quite this level before. So what does that mean? That means that come Wednesday, assuming we know who the winner is by Wednesday, and that's a big if, I'm afraid, that's a whole nother discussion, but there are going to be a lot of unhappy people in America after this election. There are going to be a lot of unhappy people, just because there's a lot of unhappy people now, and people who don't see their candidate win are going to be really, really troubled, maybe filled with fear, apprehension, and really upset. So I hate to break it to you, but probably not everyone in this room is going to be happy come Wednesday or next Sunday. And we're going to have to deal with that next Sunday. When we get together next Sunday, we'll have a little better idea of what happened in the election. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to pray again. We're going to pray again and just continue to ask God to lead us. This last little opinion thing I'll throw in here, I think these are all things we need to be thinking of. I am concerned about unity in the body of Christ. I've not witnessed previously in my lifetime the level of even kind of heated disagreement there is within the body of Christ about the particular candidates, what they represent, what they stand for. And here's the deal, church. We've got to move forward together after this election is over. I don't care who wins. We've got to move forward together. We are the body of Christ. We cannot let the results of this election divide us. Like I've already said, not all of us are going to be happy next week at this time with the outcome of the election. But we have to come together and stay together and move together. I know we don't all agree. I know we don't all agree. I've never seen quite this level of disagreement even within the body of Christ before, because of the particular candidates and because some of the things that are tied to their reputations, but we have to move together in unity. So what I want to share with you this morning, just briefly, basically three things. A truth we need reminded of, a challenge I want to give you, and then at the end of the service, I just want to give you a reminder. I want to remind you of something at the end. So let's do the first two first. The truth. This, I think, is written in your program, just a couple little things in there. Every 4 years, we are asked to vote for a man or woman who will occupy the highest position in our government. Have you ever heard people say that the president of America is the most powerful person, not only in America, but in the world, because of the stature of the United States and the size and the wealth and the power of the United States? Some people would argue that the person that wins this election on Tuesday becomes the most powerful person in the world. Let me just remind us of something. The position of the highest authority in our government is already filled. And I'm not talking about President Obama. I'm talking about the one whose term never expires, and that is God himself. God is over all things. So the person we elect, the person that's currently sitting in that position now, President Obama, and whoever our next president will be, all answer to him. I wrote out most of these verses. We typed them out in your program just so you can refer back to them. Isaiah 45, 5 and 6. I am the Lord, God speaking. I am the Lord and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men may know that there is none besides me. I am the Lord and there is no other. And then again in verses 9 and 10, or verse 9, remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. I think it's good for us to have that in our mind as we go through this election, and I don't know what it's going to be like. But God is saying, I will do what I please. He has that power. He has that authority. He is the one that's over all of our nation. Daniel 2, 19 through 21. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, praise be the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings. He sets up kings. He sets up kings. And deposes them. Okay? Proverbs 21:1. A king's heart is like streams of water in the Lord's hand. He directs it wherever he chooses. So even if the person that you hope doesn't become the next president actually does become the next president, you can take great comfort in Proverbs 21:1 because it says the king's heart is like streams of water in the Lord's hand. So God can direct a human leader any way he chooses. God can direct them any way he chooses. So there is still hope, even if that person that you hope doesn't get elected actually does get elected. Finally, in Ephesians 1, some verses referring specifically to Jesus. I think I added these to my notes this morning. I don't think these are in your notes, but this is Ephesians 1, 20 through 23. Speaking of the power that raised Christ from the dead, it says, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Now get this, this is Ephesians 1:21. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. That's the truth. And I don't think any of you were unaware of what I just said. I mean, you are aware of that. But the truth is that God is ruler. God is Lord. I wrote it this way. Jesus is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. Jesus is President of Presidents. I don't care who the president is. Currently, I don't care who the next president is going to be. Jesus is his or her boss, period. So we need to be reminded of that truth this morning. Okay, so I said I was going to give you a challenge as well. Here's my challenge, very simply. And this is really, of course, the words of Jesus, do not let your hearts be troubled. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14:1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. Very familiar verse. I'm sure most of you probably heard that before. He repeats something similar, John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, I do not give to you as the world gives, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled, do not be afraid. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I don't think this is only me, because I've heard other people say it. It was like 6 weeks ago, a Tuesday morning, I got up, I got in my car to go to a HopeNet pastor's meeting. We get together every now and then, every couple months maybe, and just talk about things that are going on in our church, renew our relationships, pray for each other. And this morning, this Tuesday morning, it was just one of those days that I know we all have. I just didn't feel on. I felt off. I was not excited about the day. I love these guys. I love getting together. But I just didn't feel good about the day. I didn't really feel excited about anything in life. I was just kind of down. I was discouraged. Depression is a strong word, but it was just one of those days. And, you know, I don't know if you're like me, but when I have a day like that, I start to sort of, I go into my analytical self, and I'm like, okay, why am I feeling this way today? Because there's normally something that triggered it. Like, was it something that happened at home? Was it something, a thought that I had, or a fear, or something? And then all of a sudden it hit me that the night before, I had watched the first presidential debate between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. I watched the whole thing from start to finish, the first one, because, like, I want to hear this. I want to hear what this is like. I want to hear what they say. This is going to be grand entertainment. You know, you kind of dismiss it as entertainment, but it's really not. I was just depressed, having heard what I heard and having watched what I watched, for various reasons. And Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. I want to just focus on two parts of this verse really quickly. First of all, he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Let's focus on the word hearts for just a moment. I think it's helpful if we differentiate in this verse the difference between our hearts and our minds. Our minds, our thoughts, our emotions. If it's helpful for you to do the body, soul, and spirit, I would say our soul, our thoughts, our emotions, they become easily troubled. And in the times we're living in, I think many of us are dealing with that, if we're honest. Our minds are troubled, our thoughts are troubled, our emotions are kind of tangled up. And not just in the emotion, and not just in the election. I think there's a lot of this going on. The enemy's really active in this area. Jesus isn't addressing the minds. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. That inner part of you that we would call the spirit, that shouldn't be troubled. Maybe your minds are troubled, but your heart should be troubled. Why? Because he says, trust in God, trust also in me. If your trust is in God, your trust is in Jesus Christ, that can produce, and it should produce, a level of peace. Now, I want to focus on two other words, just briefly, and it's very interesting that he says this. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Sherwin, if I said to you, do not let the sun go down today, you would just say, you're crazy. I don't have that kind of power. It would be silly for me to say to Sherwin, do not let the sun go down today. Now, if I would take my Bible and hand it to Sherwin, I would say, Sherwin, do not let this fall on the ground. I would expect you to be able to handle that. I mean, you'd have to hold it in such a way, make sure you're gripping it with your fingers. That's within your power to not let this fall on the ground. So when Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled, I believe that he's communicating to us, it is within your power to not let your heart be troubled. Well, how do we do that? I think we have to preach to ourselves, we have to preach to our mind and our emotions from the truth of what we spoke a few moments ago, that God is in control, that he is God, he is ruler over all things, and whatever happens, he's got it. He's got it. So when Jesus said, don't let your hearts, this inner core of you that knows who you are, it knows who God is, don't let trouble get in there, because you know the truth. You know that God is in control of all things. You know that he is a good God, that he is a good father. So that's my challenge this morning. That's my challenge. And we'll get to a reminder a little bit later. So what we're going to do now is we're going to transition into a time of prayer. I'm trusting that if, especially those of you who've been in prayer over the past week, and maybe you've been receiving our emails or seeing some of those prayer themes, what is God stirring in you this week? What has he really placed on your heart that you feel is important about this season we're in as a nation? And maybe there is a prayer you would like to share. Maybe there's a scripture you would like to share. Now, let me say very clearly, please listen to what I'm about to say. This morning is not a time to share your particular beliefs or convictions about candidate A or candidate B, or why God is telling you to vote for candidate A or candidate B. We're going to leave it out of this morning, okay? There's enough of that on Facebook, okay? So this is not this morning about choosing a candidate. This morning is about praying for the candidates. Please pray for them. Pray for them by name, that they would encounter God. Whatever God gives you to pray for them. But please don't come up and pray that everybody votes for candidate A or candidate B. We don't want to go there this morning. But what other ways God leads you to pray for our nation, for the election, for revival, for repentance, all the themes that can run through this time, this thing of being troubled, that we would be at rest, that we would be at peace, you know, all these things that we can pray about. So to transition back into prayer, I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. They're going to come back up. They're going to lead a song. So we're just going to go back into worship for a few moments and just invite the Holy Spirit to come and just minister through this time. I believe there are many churches around the country that are doing this very thing this morning in various forms. They're looking ahead to the election. They're crying out to God. They're seeking him. They're seeking his face. And we're honored to be a part of that this morning. So we're going to go ahead and go back into worship. I'll invite you to stand. Let's just stand for a moment as we go back into worship. And then we're going to transition into a time of prayer where you'll have opportunity to share in either in prayer or through the word.
For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us. The atmosphere is changing now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the The Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love. The Spirit of the Lord is here. A miracle can happen now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. That the Spirit of the Lord.
So thankful that when we pray, it can be and should be something we do in participation with you, that you lead us in our prayers, you put on our hearts those things that you want us to pray. So God, we would start with that question this morning. What do you want us to pray this morning? What's on your heart? God, we've gathered this morning, yes, to pray for the election, to pray for our nation, to pray for the church. God, there may be other things on your heart as well. So we just ask you to lead us in this time of prayer this morning. Be pleased by the prayers that are offered in this place. God, not just the words that are said, but the hearts that they're coming from. God, that we would be in this place of trust in you. We would be in this place of surrender to you. This place of saying that you are the King of America. You are the President of America. You are the Governor of America. Whatever word we want to use, God, you are our ruler, and we want to surrender to you. So come and lead us through this time, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I just want to say one thing yet. I would encourage every one of you to be an active participant in this prayer time. Now, you may come up front and choose to pray something into the mic. You may come up front and choose to share a scripture that God has put on your heart, and you may not. That's okay. I'm not overly worried about that. I'm not worried about that at all. But what can happen in a time like this, and I'm guilty of it, I become a spectator, and I just kind of sit there idly waiting for the next person to come up. Well, who's going to speak next? And I kind of wait and hear what they're going to say. No, I encourage you, let's all enter into prayer. Let's all be asking God, even as someone is up praying, agree with them, pray something else. Maybe the Lord will take you off on some other rabbit trail. You're going to be praying over there while someone else is praying over here. That's okay. But I invite all of you to actively participate in this block of prayer. If you choose to come up front, share something, great. If not, just don't become a spectator, okay? Let's all pray. Let's all pray for this election. Pray for our nation. Pray for God to have his way. Rick is going to be on this side with a microphone. I'm going to be over here with a microphone. And so just come up to either one of us. We can hold the mic, help you with your Bible or whatever, and we'll go from there. You have something to start with, right?
Anybody that knows me knows that I can go on a rant in a heartbeat. It does no good. It is totally unproductive. In fact, it's counterproductive. My family's learned to shut me off. This is something the Lord's been dealing with me on a heart level for some time. So, it's easy for me to focus on somebody that I disagree with and just let them have it. This is not about, as Ron has already said, this is not about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or anybody else. This is a battle in the heavenlies. This is a spiritual battle. We are fighting against evil. And the only victor over evil is Jesus Christ. As I was listening to the Penn State game yesterday, the Lord speaks to me in funny ways. He never gives me a whole lot to say. He just drops a word into me, and it's like, okay, what's that about? But the Lord dropped a word into my heart last night that I want to share with you. It's in Philippians chapter 3. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power he has even to subject all things to himself. He is Lord. He is Lord. Obviously, the word that the Lord gave me was citizenship. I have to be reminded continually that that's my home. I'm only here as a sojourner. I read a quote while ago, but it's one of my favorites now, and it says that we are not earthly people. We are not human beings on a spiritual journey. We are spiritual beings on an earthly journey. It is important to remember who you are. We've had 3 months of identity. We are children of the Most High God. Our citizenship is not here, it is in heaven. We are eternal beings, and we have a responsibility, we have a charge to influence the world around us for God's sake, for His name, and for His kingdom. Let's pray. Father, what a privilege it is to be your child, to be given the opportunity to walk this life on behalf of you, to show the world who you are, even as your son Jesus came to reveal you who you are. You've given us the same privilege and the same call. So, Father, as we enter into the voting booths on Tuesday, Father God, remind us of who we are. Let us not walk into that with our own agenda, but with your agenda, Father God. That your will for this nation would be accomplished, Father God, whatever that looks like. But that we would have the grace to accept the outcome and to be able to trust you. Not put our hope in our government, not put our hope in any man, but to rest in your goodness and in your love. Father, bless you.
Is there anyone else who would have a prayer or a word to share? Come on up.
This week, I've been going through some struggles over the decisions that we have to make, and I have to make personally on Tuesday. And God, just yesterday, spoke to me about the dependencies I have on the government policies and programs and things like that. And God has told me to pray that I'm no longer dependent upon the government for policies and programs, but to be dependent upon God, upon Jesus Christ, for the power of the Holy Spirit working among people that are believers. Because one of my awarenesses of the church is that we are to be the ones that are to do the loving and caring of people, of our own people, and that God has spoken that to me. And I'm going to read a passage out of Ephesians, beginning in verse 3, chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So we are already blessed in the heavenly places, and also what occurs in heaven, as was read in David's prayer out of Matthew earlier, does also happen here on the earth. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. We're sons and daughters of the King. We have a loving Father that cares over us, that reigns over us as family. So it's not just a government that is may not always be aware of what the people need, but we are a family that is aware of what its people need. And just pray that this is what we are thinking about as we make the decisions that are coming, not just Tuesday, but every other day of the week and every other day of the year, that the Holy Spirit may guide this nation and guide his people as believers and as a family and loving our Heavenly Father who loves us, and he's not far away. He's within us with the Holy Spirit. In your name, Jesus, for these things I pray. Amen.
Tuesday morning, I was here at the house of prayer, and I was praying. I do a lot of praying for the body here. And as I was praying, I looked over and I thought, is this a dream or a vision or what's going on here, Lord? And it was like the dust was going up, or rain was going straight up. In one section, it was going straight up through the roof. And then I turned my head and I was thought, well, what did I just see? And then I kept on praying, looked over, it was still gone. The dust or the rain was going straight up. And I thought, what is going on here? And I turned away and looked, and nothing was there anymore. It was almost like God was saying, we need to together be crying out in the name of Jesus, because I'm hearing the prayers. They are effective. And a praying person is a powerful person. And we are human beings, not human doings. So let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we come in the name of Jesus to you, a name above all names. And we proclaim that the name of Jesus is a powerful name. And the enemy is fearful when we cry out in the name of Jesus. And so we do that now. We invite you to take over in our lives. We confess and repent of a spirit of control that's in our midst, a spirit in which we say we're going to do things our own way, and if we can't succeed, we'll invite you. Father, we confess that in Jesus' name. We ask that you would help us to be dependent upon you, Lord Jesus. Help us to experience your grace and love and mercy in a fresh new way, and we confess our inadequacy. We need you, Lord. And so I just pray that there would be breakthrough in the body, breakthrough in marriages, breakthrough in families, breakthrough in the community. I cry out, Lord Jesus, that you would have your way, and that we would not be the ones that say we must control the situation, but that we would relinquish our control and we would have it your way. And we would say, come, Lord Jesus, take over in our midst. It's all about us, Lord Jesus, being at your feet and listening to you. And so cause us in our midst of our busyness to stop and slow down and hear your voice and do it your way, not our way. And so, Father, I just invite you to invade our congregation, to invade our families, to just take over in the midst of maybe situations that there is no peace, because we know and proclaim that we serve a God of peace, a God of reconciliation, a God who wants to make things right. And so we say, come, Lord Jesus, into our midst. We invite you in all of our weakness. We confess our weakness, because when we are weak, then we are strong. And so we are strong in Jesus. Help us to proclaim the name of Jesus in our family, in our neighborhood. Help us to model our submission to you, Lord. We surrender. We seek your face. We want to do it your way. And so it's not about the election. It's about our relationship with you, Lord. Cause us to be more on our knees than more on our feet. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Jesus, for what you want to do in our lives. We invite all that you have for us. Come, enter into our life in a fresh new way, in Jesus' name.
Second Chronicles 7, verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And also John chapter 17, verse 20 through 23 says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, talking about his disciples, but for those who also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them, even as you have loved me. So, Father, we do pray, God, that you would forgive us, God, for all the ways that we have turned from you and tried to do things our own way, God, for the ways that we have not been your light and your love in this world, God. You have called us to be one, to be your people, God, to reflect your glory to this nation, God. And Lord, we thank you for the leaders you have put in place, but you have called us also to be your light, to be your witness, to be your mediator in this world, Father, in this nation, God. And we pray that you would forgive us, God, for the ways that we become distracted and have tried to focus on other things instead of being who you have called us to be the identity that you have given us, God, that we are children of God. We are sons of the living God. We are your light in this world, God. We are called to love one another as you have loved us, to share your love with this world. And so, God, forgive us. We pray that you would give us your heart for each and every person in this nation, God, that you would help us to be the church you've called us to be. Forgive us, Lord, so that true healing can come. It does not come through an election. It does not come through a president. Father, we commit that to you and whoever it would be, but God, help us to be who you have called us to be, because that's where true change comes, Father, when you are working in and through us in this nation. So God, help us. Help us, Lord. We can't do it on our own. Holy Spirit, move in and through us afresh and anew, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just want to say my prayer to all of you here is from my heart. I came here with a broken heart, broken soul, and my gosh, I have been reborn. Unbelievable. And I have to tell you how I get bad. My days, when I have those days, sometimes there are 2 days in a row when I don't know why I'm that way and I'm not happy, and I speak all day, every day to my Lord Jesus, till I realize from coming here, I'm not using the word faith enough now. Faith is in my every conversation with Jesus. But I have to tell you all what you can do even when you leave today, go downstairs or the dollar store, coffee, whatever. When I get this way, I am compelled to go out. I don't shop from food. I don't need anything. I'm all right. But I go into the stores one day or the other, and I speak to so many strangers. I speak to so many strangers. Like the other day in the dollar store, I apologized for making someone wait. I was so slow, and I said, oh, I thank you so much, God bless, for, you know, for your patience, because many of us don't know that word. And she says, thank you, sweetheart, I have cancer. And I said, well, give me my hug, girlfriend, because, oh, that's me. And I spoke to her in her ear, but God's been with her, because we have to use the word faith. We stay in today. Don't listen yesterday. Stay in the faith today. And then my other story is so many. I go to their veterans and these little tiny old women like me and just say how beautiful they look. And guess what? I mean, they tell me the story of their life because they were in the war with their husbands back in the 40s or whatever. And the other day, I have to tell you this, was a real tall man like you. And I started asking him, what is that vegetable? What do you do with that? It looks hard. And he talked to me and I said, what does it taste like? And he said, well, and I give different vegetables. No. I said, I bet like a turnip. Yeah, but better. And I said, well, when you cook it the next time, bring some leftovers. Maybe we'll meet and I'll get to taste it. And I looked up and he was crying. I said, what did I say? And he said to me, I have to say it, you were the first white woman that ever came up and talked to me. And I said, well, shame on them. You got shame on them. Now there'll be a number two when you go out there because they're going to put a smile. And I said, I don't know what made me say this. I had no idea, believe me. But I said, are you from Jamaica? And he said, yes. How do I know? Yes. Were you there? I said, well, many years ago on a visit. And I said, I wanted to ask him so many questions. And I keep looking for him. And I said, how is it? And he said, very bad. And I said, why? Because I don't know about these cities, these countries. I don't know this stuff. And he says, we're hungry, there's no food. And I said, but why? So we need to pray, man. We're not going to go back into you know what. It's coming up on Tuesday, but it's the government. I didn't know that. It takes all their money that they can't have food. And this is a perfect stranger. And it's so good. You touch all these hearts. Just turn around and say, hey, how you doing? Oh, you look so pretty in that jacket. Man, you don't know what you can. You need a cup of coffee. You'll need a cup of coffee. And that's where my faith came in when I've come to this church, the Living Hope. It gave me my life back that I never knew I had one. Took away all the pains that I had, because when I have these pains, and I still get hurts, I get our feelings get hurt. I go to Giants. And that's how I release my prayer, because I do talk every day to prayer. And I have my cup of coffee, toast, and my good night blessings all day long. Thank you for letting me speak from my heart. That's what I want to say.
I kind of forget how old Ron said he was. 54, he says. Okay. I happen to be 63, so I got a few more years on him. I do want to tell you that I really believe that this nation is going through a shaking of its foundations. And the fact that 60% of the people are displeased with the choices they have is a very good thing. I'm disappointed it's not higher. I wish it was like 99%. That would speak real well of this nation. I do want to tell you that I've gone through a few shakings in my life, very foundational shakings. Never ever have they been pleasant, but they have always resulted in good, and I mean very good. An increase in righteousness, an increase of peace, an increase of joy and purpose in my life. So people, this is golden opportunity, because Wednesday, there's still going to be 60% of the people disappointed with the choices they had. And this is time, opportunities for us as individuals to speak of the solid foundation that we can build our lives on, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Righteousness upholds and builds a nation. Unrighteousness will tear it down. And so that is my prayer, that we as individuals now are emboldened to be righteous, to be his sons, daughters, and to live joyfully. I have no idea what's going to happen in the next few years. Some of it's not going to be fun. But we do have a solid foundation that will not shake. Stand on it. Hallelujah.
I just wanted to share a little bit of what God's been working on my heart the last few weeks, and really kind of even more so in the last couple days. The passage that Kevin actually read was kind of what I was going to say anyway. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will heal their land. In the other day at the man cave, we were talking about God's promises that are conditional. And it's kind of something God's already been working on me on. And that passage starts off and says, if my people are called by my name, it doesn't just say if they'll pray. It says if they will humble themselves and pray. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In everything you do, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I know I'm guilty of, and I think all of us probably are at times, especially when it comes to this election. I know I pray that whoever is elected, that God would work and God would use them. But God's been really showing me lately, how many times have I asked him, okay, God, who do you want me to vote for? Who do you want me to vote for? Put my vote in for, who is your plan to use? Because I think I have it all figured out. I look at my understanding and I say, I got this, I understand this, I know what's going on, I got this, I can handle this, God, just worry about everybody else. And God's really just kind of showing me, not just with this election, but in general, that we really need to just humble ourselves before him and say, God, you have a bigger plan than me. You have a better plan than I do. I don't know your ways are above my ways. thoughts are above my thoughts, and to really humble ourselves before Him, and then pray. Humble ourselves and say, God, I'm not saying I'm right, because I don't know. I don't see the past, the present, the future. We serve a God who knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything. And we need to humble ourselves. We need to start there and then pray. So that's just my challenge that God's put on my heart, and I want to say that to everyone else. Just let's get on our knees and humble ourselves before we pray. And then let's pray to God and see what He does. Because as everyone has said, things are happening. And I know a lot of times, even with this, one other thing God has challenged me is He said, the way you're thinking, is it truly, are you seeking my will first and then seeking it, or are you just seeking your own comfort? Do you want somebody that's just going to make your life easier or do what you think they should do? Or do you really want what I want? So that's my challenge that God's been putting on my heart, and I just want to share that all with you.
I've been burdened with a couple things this election cycle. One, Pastor Ron said already that I feel like this election has divided the church. And Living Hope, may they not be the case. We cannot be divided in an election. We need to stand together in unity. And whatever we need to do, that it's just not an acceptable thing to have happen. The other thing that burdens me here is in Colossians, devote yourselves to prayer, be watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I feel like we have been unwise in the way we've treated outsiders this election cycle. And I feel like we may need to do some repenting. We've put political parties ahead of the kingdom of God. We've put a candidate above Christ. We've put the policies that are out there above the gospel. And I don't want to be a church or a people of God that is unwise in what we say. We have to be careful what we say to people, how we voice our opinions, what we post on Facebook, what we say in the marketplace, what we say in school. Our conversation would be full of grace, seasoned with salt. And without that, people aren't going to hear the message of the gospel. We've put up a block, and people haven't heard the true message of Jesus because of some of the things that we've said, or that we've put something ahead of what is really important. And let me just pray, because I feel like there's an opportunity for just repenting and for saying, God, we need to put you back first. And the kingdom of God is supposed to be first. So Lord, as Paul said, we just want to come humbly before you and just say, we're sorry. We're sorry for saying the things that maybe we've said, God, that we put something ahead of you. We've put something that is not as important ahead of what is ultimately important. God, forgive us for putting the temporal ahead of the eternal. God, may we be able to be a people that speak grace, that we are salt to conversations, that we may speak the words of life and not the words of hate, that we may speak the words of light in a dark place. As Clyde has said, Lord, this is an opportunity for the church to show what you have for the world. May we be your hands and feet in this nation. God, so forgive us for standing in the way of your movement of the gospel. And instead, let us be vessels of your, and we conduits of your love to the people around us. Lord, no matter what happens Tuesday, you're Lord on Wednesday, and we are still the church on Wednesday, and we still need to speak light and life to the people around us. No matter what the policies are, no matter what the government is, God, you are on the throne. You are still in control. We are still your people. So let us not lose sight of the fact that your kingdom is the ultimate thing we need to focus on, and that we need to be those people that bring the kingdom to this world. So God, help us to love the people around us. Despite of differences and disagreements, God, we are to be accepting and loving. So God, we just confess our sin to you. We confess things that we put ahead of you. God, and may we continually put Jesus first in our life. May we always focus on you ahead of everything else. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just want to say I appreciated all the prayers that John Waller wrote for each day this week. And this week I came across a psalm. I just forget the chapter and the verses, but it went like this. I, the Lord, bring judgment. I put down one, and I raise up another. So I think that's something for us to really remember. And some time ago, it's been maybe 10 years or so, I came across a saying by a Christian writer that I forgot to put his name down, but it really struck me, and I really appreciated it. And the saying goes, there is a moral, human, political solution to evil in the world, and there is a Christian solution. The gospel which contains the latter will always be compromised by identifying it with the former. I think that's a pretty true statement, and something for us to remember this week.
Probably know, but 6 years ago, I took on a second job driving school bus in the city of Lancaster. Did I ever think I would drive this school bus in the city of Lancaster? No way. But I have been so blessed by that. And one of the members of this church said a prayer for me before I started. And I say that prayer every day before I get on the bus, or when I'm on the bus before I start. May the guardian angels be on and around my bus and the devil spirits off of my bus. And I think we need to say that prayer on Tuesday, that the devil's spirit will be away from the election, and that we will have a good election, and that God, and we do know that God's in control, but that things will go well.
When King Solomon just became king, the Lord asked him, what do you want? And he said, I want wisdom. That was the thing that he was hoping for, something he asked. He could have anything. The Lord was going to grant him. My prayer is that whoever we end up in whatever office, that they too would ask for the Lord's wisdom.
shared this morning, I know we could go on for some time, but I just wanted to add one more comment yet to Christopher's comment about unity in the body, just to make sure you're not misunderstanding us. I don't expect for a moment that we're all going to agree on who we would like to see to be the next president. I know we don't. I know this is a very difficult and divisive election. I don't expect that for a moment. But the point we're making is, whatever God does through the election, we then move on together, whether it's who we would have chosen, whether it's who we wouldn't. There was an interesting question asked, I think, at the end of at least two debates, where each of the two main candidates were asked, will you accept the results of the election? Will you accept the results? And I won't talk about their responses. You've probably read about that. But I guess that's the question for us. Will you accept the results of the election? Regardless of who you want to see in that position, will you accept that? And what I mean by accept that, you will pray for that person. You will know that God is still in control of our nation, that God has good things in store for us, even though it might be, as Clyde said, through a difficult time. So let's just pray yet as we wrap up this prayer time. God, I pray for these candidates. I pray for Hillary Clinton. I pray for Donald Trump. I pray for the other independents that are running as well. God, this much I know about them. This much I know about Hillary Clinton. She is a daughter of yours. You knit her together in her mother's womb. God, I believe without a doubt that you have a destiny for her life. You have plans and purposes for her. God, like any of us, the challenge will she submit to what you want to do through her? God, I don't know where she is in her faith journey. It's not my job to judge her, but I pray for her what I would pray for myself and for each one of us, that you would draw her closer to Jesus, that she would encounter you in rich and powerful ways that would cause a continuing transformation in her life, to transfer evermore into the likeness of Jesus Christ. God, this much I know about Donald Trump. He is a son of yours. You've knit him together in his mother's womb. You have plans for him. You have purposes for him. You have a destiny for his life. The question is, will he surrender to you and allow you to work through him? God, I don't know where he is in his faith journey. That's not my place to judge. But I do pray, God, that you would draw him closer to Jesus, that he would learn of you, that he would submit to you, that he would allow you to lead him. God, I pray the same thing for the other candidates, and not only for them, but for the thousands of people around the nation that are running for all the other positions that are open. God, we ask your blessing. We also ask, God, your protection on the process. God, I pray there would be no unrest. I pray there would be no violence. God, we just give those things to you. That is our request, Lord. We know you're in control of all things. We bless your holy name, God. And we are committed, Lord, to serve you and to allow you to lead our country in whatever way you see fit, God, and we will surrender to you in the process. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so the truth I reminded you of this morning is that God is in control. The challenge I gave you is to not let your hearts be troubled. So we're going to go back into a song we sang in the main set about God being in control. We're going to go back into that now, and then I have one final reminder as we dismiss. But let's stand together. We're going to declare the words of these songs, and I pray that we can declare them from our heart, and we can carry this with us through the week.
Christ, the hope of man.
My hope is in you, God. I am steadfast. I will not be moved. I am anchored, never shaken. My hope is in you. One final thing, really quickly. Do you remember in the Old Testament when God was drawing the children of Israel out of Egypt, he sent different plagues on the nation of Egypt? And I want to draw your attention for like a minute to the one plague. Several of the plagues had this one thing in common, which this plague was one of them. God sent the plague of darkness over the land. It was dark. It was completely dark all over the land. However, where the people of Israel were, it was light. So it doesn't matter the darkness that we see in our land. It can still be light at your house. It can still be light in your heart. It can still be light in your family, because if you have Jesus, you have light. If you have Jesus, you have light. If you have Jesus, you are light. So as Clyde challenged us, this is an opportunity for us, regardless of what happens on Tuesday or Wednesday or in the next month or next year, we have the light of Christ. And it can be light in your house because Christ, if Christ is in your house, it will be light in your house regardless of the darkness around you. Father, thank you for that promise. Jesus, you are the light of the world, and then you call us the light of the world. So we receive that this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, I'll remind you again, we have the potato bar following. I'm going to ask a blessing on the meal in just a moment. So as you make your way over there, you can go ahead to your table, get your place setting, get right in line, get your food. I'm sure they're ready for us by now. So I hope you can stay, just connect with some more people. Thanks for being with us. Continue to pray, obviously, for the election. And we will pray again next week for whatever's going on a week from now. So, Father, thank you for this meal that the youth have worked to prepare for us this morning. I ask your blessing on the food and on the fellowship and conversation. God, may that time be pleasing to you and a blessing to us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed. Is anyway? Oh, yes. Thank you for that reminder. One other thing. As you go over there, we're asking you to take your possessions with you. We're going to be locking this half of the building. There's someone else coming in to use the cafe. So we're just asking, take yourself with you and then your stuff with you. Then you can exit through the gym when you're through. Thank you.